Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 136, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. And for first-time listeners, we're glad you found us. I'm Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we're going to look at the smartwatch market and how it's set to explode thanks to the upcoming Apple Watch. Vodafone's introduced some new shared plans and how the size of your smartphone screen can determine how much data you use. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the Logitech Keys to Go Bluetooth keyboard, the Netgear Click Switch to connect more devices to your network, and we'll have a fun look at some of the most ridiculous gadgets that have ever been released. Some really cool ones to talk about there. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about, so let's jump straight in. Smartwatches are everywhere. It's been a popular category in the last year or so, but it's about to get even bigger, according to some reports from Telsyte. Telsyte's a tech research company, and their prediction is the Australian market is really going to take off. It's warming right up. The smartwatch and wearable devices market is about to explode. Now, already 40% of Australians wear a wristwatch every day. So there's already an audience there. There are a lot of people who don't wear wristwatches, well, 60% in fact, of people who don't wear a wristwatch, especially younger users. Have you noticed? Take a look around. Next time you're out in public on public transport, take a look around at the number of younger people, I'm talking, you know, teenagers, early 20s, who are around you in public, and check out, normally they'll be on their phone, they'll be looking at their smartphone. And check out how many of them actually wear a watch. Not many do, because the screen that they're constantly looking at, that they've constantly got in their hand, does display the time. So the smartwatch market, if it can crack even that audience, which you'd think being that age where smartwatches and technology is popular, then the smartwatch market is really going to take off even further. But for the 40% who are already part of this market, who are wearers of a wristwatch every day, then they're going to be really tempted to try out something as high tech as a smartwatch. If they haven't already, there's already a number of smartwatches on the market. We're talking models by Samsung and LG and Motorola and many more. But the one that's really going to capture everyone's imagination and what Telsyte is predicting is really going to ignite the market is the release of Apple's watch, the Apple Watch, which is going to hit the Australian or the worldwide market, as a matter of fact, in April. Now, a very highly anticipated release, and this reminds me of what Apple have done in so many other segments of the market. We've seen it with the music player. Let's go back more nearly, 14 years now. So let's talk about the iPod when it was released back in 2001. It wasn't the first MP3 player on the market. There were plenty out there already. But what was out on the market was very complicated. The designs weren't that good. And what Apple did is come along and just produce a wow product that everyone gravitated towards and everyone wanted. Fast forward now to 2007 with the introduction of the iPhone. And once again, Apple didn't invent the smartphone. They reinvented the smartphone, and the iPhone then became the new bar that everyone set themselves to, and now every phone looks like an iPhone, that we could say. Moving forward in 2010, the tablet market was ignited with the release of the iPad. Now, there were other tablets on the market before that, But what Apple did is combine their great design powers and just the sheer understanding of the consumer market. They put these things together and created a device that's now one of the most popular on the market. The iPad and the whole tablet market, as a matter of fact, has really risen. So, there's a saying that a rising tide lifts all boats, and that's exactly what's happened in the tablet market. So you're seeing not only Apple enjoying great success with the tablets, but also other companies as well. Now, I think the same thing's going to happen with smartwatches. I think once Apple do something in the market, the whole market takes notice. The consumers really sit up and listen. And with the release of the Apple Watch, we're going to see that. And not only is it going to bring attention to Apple's products, of course, but it's also going to bring attention to the other smartwatches out there. So people are going to be more interested in this in general in the marketplace. So what are we talking about here, though? Well, the size of this market is really growing. In fact, in 2015, Telsider predicted that the smartwatch market is going to grow by 50%. So it's going to be double the size of what it was in 2014. So in 2015, the Telsider 2015 report is saying that the smartwatch market just in Australia by 2018 is going to be worth $400 million, which is for a country just the size of Australia, is pretty significant. The ideal age range they're saying is that the age group 25 to 44 represent the best sales target. So if you are in this age category, and you would probably want to be part of that 40% of Australians who do wear a wristwatch every day, then you're the most likely. Notice how that age prediction is 25 and up, because as I said earlier, it's very rare to find someone younger than 25 who's actually wearing a watch. I think it'd be quite an achievement to get. For the product would have to be really attractive and really interesting to actually make a customer act in a way that they didn't before. So in other words, someone not wearing a watch to suddenly decide to wear a watch really would say a lot about the power of that product and how desirable it must be. Well, time will tell. April, we're going to see the Apple Watch hit the market. It's going to be a booming area for all companies, not just Apple. And the wearable, we should mention wearables as well, the activity bands, you know, your Garmins and Fitbits and Jawbones and all of those products. They too have had a healthy year, sold more than 800,000 in 2014 alone. So they're in for some pretty bright times to come. If you want to check out those stats and read more about the smartwatch market and where it's going, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, Vodafone have announced their new shared plans. By this, we mean that Vodafone will allow you to piggyback your plan with another shared plan, so that there is a core plan, so that's the 12 or 20 month red plan, and then you'll be able then to share that plan with up to 10 different devices. And we're not just talking data here, we're talking calls, we're talking other features like the $5 a day roaming in 47 countries. So it is a great way to share the load, to share your data around the family. So if you've got a one plan, say a husband and wife team, if they've got a couple of phones and maybe one person has got a larger amount of data on their monthly plan and the other person has only got a little bit, well, rather than the bit that's not used in the greater plan going to waste, then the other user in the family can then tap into that unused data per month. So Vodafone really has a first here where it's offering the data, but it's also offering the calls and text messages as well as international calls. So all these things that are included in the primary plan, you know, those talk and texts and international calls, can also be brought across to a shared plan as well. This applies to just the red plan. So it's red, start about $50, so SIM-only plans here. And also, if you wanted to, you need to establish a 12 or 20-month plan for a start. So that's how you get started. And then what you can do is either bundle a shared plan, you can choose to have a shared plan with a new smartphone and tablet attached to it, or you would bring your own device. So if you already got a an extra smartphone or a tablet, then you would bring that along yourself, and thereby only having to pay for the shared SIM only, rather than having to pay for a device. There's no activation fees, so it's easy to get started. And with the shared portion of these plans, it's a month-to-month contract. So even though the primary plan is a 12 or 20-month contract, the shared part of the plan is a month-to-month deal. And they start at $30 a month. You get an extra gig, you get a gig at 30, all the way up to 70 for 3 gig. But then you also have access to the data on the primary plan as well. So a handy way to access that. You can choose the shared plan to be just for your phone or also for your tablet. The tablet plan per month is $10 for 1 gig, or $30 for an extra 4 gig on the shared plan. And again, all those shared features, like the $5 a day roaming for a tablet, so that means you can use the data, $5 a day, that also applies to that tablet as well. So rather than having all of these different bills and all the messy different accounts and things like that to keep track of, it all comes back to one bill as well, which is probably one of the most attractive features of the whole thing. Vodafone shared plans for smartphones and tablets, up to 10 devices. And on Tech Guide, I've put all the pricing there, all the grids, for you to check out the value and whether it suits you. And I've also put a link through to the Vodafone website. And you can check all of that out at techguide.com.au. Now, while we're on the subject of data and using our mobile devices, especially our smartphones, of course, our smartphones are the primary touch point for most customers. It's the most portable device that we own, the most popular device we own, and it is the device we use to connect to the internet more than any other. It is something that is with us all the time. It's in our pocket, it's in our hand, and accessing data on it is really easy. Now, how does the screen size, though, of your smartphone affect the amount of data you use? Well, having a large screen, would you expect to use more data? Well, that is a question that was asked by Citrix, who conducted an interesting study. And they came up with some very interesting stats. Now, just in the case of the iPhone, as we know, Apple a few months ago released the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. Now, this was Apple's first move into these larger screens. We're talking 4.7-inch screen for the iPhone 6, 5.5-inch screen for the iPhone 6 Plus. And what this does, of course, they were hugely popular. They've sold more than 75 million of these handsets since they were released back in September, and have been, without a doubt, Apple's most popular smartphones. And it was really a response to the market really moving towards those larger screens, which all the other manufacturers, including Samsung and LG and Sony, they were already doing that. Once Apple delivered in this area, then we saw a lot of people, including Android users, move towards the new iPhone devices. Well, Citrix study has revealed that just between the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, some very interesting stats. Now, the iPhone 6 Plus users used twice as much data as an iPhone 6 user. So just that jump from a 4.7-inch screen to a 5.5-inch screen, just in the iPhone family there, was enough to generate twice as much data. So it does go to show that a larger screen is conducive to you wanting to use more data. And what the data that's viewed mostly on these large screens is video. So we're talking live streams of sporting events or YouTube, movies. All this data is consumed on these larger devices. So customers are suddenly thinking, wow, I've got this big screen in my hand. I want to see what I can enjoy on this thing. It's kind of like a Ferrari. You're going to think, well, I want to drive this thing fast. It's what it's designed for. Having a large screen iPhone or any other smartphone for that matter, you're going to want to think, well, a lot of stuff's going to look pretty good on this. It's going to be easier to browse the internet, easier to do things, and more attractive to view, more comfortable to view videos and movies and other forms of content like that. So it's really no surprise that these phablets, the phone/tablets, that's a term that's been coined in the industry, these devices that are larger than a smartphone, not quite as big as a tablet, the phablet, showing these data usage patterns, which are sort of more in line with a tablet. If at home, a lot of people consume content on a tablet device rather than a smartphone because of that extra screen size. These larger screen smartphones now are taking their place. So the phablets are really attractive to users, and they are using a lot more data through them than ever before. Large screen equals more data. That is plain to see from Citrix's interesting report, which you can read at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Now, in today's connected homes, there's a variety of network devices which use a wired connection for faster gaming, streaming entertainment, or storage backup. But with connected TVs, media streamers, gaming consoles, and multiple computers, a switch is required to separate and prioritize traffic. And what you can end up with, though, is a jumble of cords in your home theater setup or home office that resembles a rat's nest. Well, the new Netgear Click Switch is a gigabit Ethernet switch designed to improve cable management and reduce unsightly cords. It's got a slim design with its own internal power supply and a unique 1-2-3-4 click mounting system with vertical and horizontal orientations which enable optimal placement where other switches don't go. In short, it puts the cables where you want them. Check out the new industry-first click switch from Netgear at netgear.com.au/click switch.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Kicking off our reviews this week is a product from Logitech, and it's aptly entitled, the product is aptly called Keys to Go, which is exactly what it is. It's a Bluetooth keyboard that can go anywhere. Now, we all know we love using our smartphones, we love using our tablets, but there are just some times where you prefer to feel keys under your fingers. You want to write out a long document, reply to a long email. Typing on glass just doesn't do it for everyone, and I've got to admit, I'm one of those people. If I need to type out something, a longer document, I'd rather use a physical keyboard than type it out on glass. I don't know, that's just me, but I'm not alone. Logitech's Keys to Go is a Bluetooth portable keyboard. It's about 24 centimeters wide, 13.7 centimeters long, and just 6 millimeters thick. And what that means is it's really small and really portable, but still offers the full feel of a keyboard. Now, pairs with an iPhone and iPad. It's designed for iPhone and iPad because it's got all the iOS shortcuts built in. So it's got like your home key and all these different MIDI control keys. It's got a row of function keys as well. So it is designed for iPhone and iPad. And Apple TV, as a matter of fact, you can attach the keyboard to Apple TV. So rather than typing in searches with the remote control, which can be a real pain, you can use the Logitech Keys to Go keyboard to do that instead. And the beauty of it is that it's small enough to carry around with you everywhere. It's smaller than an iPad, obviously bigger than an iPhone, but it is small enough and thin enough for you to store it in your bag, carry around. So it is easy. It is literally a keyboard you can take with you anywhere to use whenever and wherever you want. It's got a connection on the side where you can, it's got a rechargeable battery charged by a micro USB cable, which is included. There's a little on off switch down there on the right hand side. And the battery, though, can last for up to 3 months. It hardly uses any power when it's in Bluetooth paired mode. It's also covered with fabric skin. So what that means is that it's spill-proof and dirt-proof and dust-proof. Doesn't have the gaps in between it like an old keyboard where there'd be lots of crumbs and lots of crap gets in there. This is all covered with fabric skin. So you can spill a coffee, spill your drink, and it's simply a matter of wiping it clean and it will continue. You will not break it. So that's another handy feature to have, especially for a portable keyboard. You're probably using this in cafes and on the go, on buses and trains and all sorts of places where there could be those accidental spills. So it's good to know that it's protected. Keys to Go, Very handy. I use this. It's in my bag all the time now. It goes with me when I've got my iPad or my iPhone, and even when I've got my laptop. Sometimes I just don't have room to open up my laptop, but I do have room to open up the keys to go, maybe pair it with my iPhone or my iPad, and get. I've written stories for the Tech Guide site using the keys to go keyboard. It's available now in three colors, black, red, and blue, and price is just $79.95, and you can read our full review at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, our next product for review is actually the subject of our sponsored live read from Netgear, which is the Netgear Click Switch. Now, this was the Ethernet Gigabit Switch. There's two of them. There's an 8-port and a 16-port click switch. Now, what these are different to any other Ethernet switch you've seen out there. The normal Ethernet switch is square. It's got takes up a fair bit of room on the desk. It's a sort of shape where it's pretty hard to place sometimes, and the power cords can go everywhere. The cords, there's no real organization to it. Well, Netgear's sort of taken a really good look at what the switch needs to do, where it needs to go, and how it can be easily positioned on your desk. And what they've come up with is the click switch in the 8 and 16 port configurations, but it's made in a long and slim design. So it's long and slim, which means it can go along the edge of a desk, under the edge of a desk, on the leg of a table, and it's really handy to position it in a spot that's more convenient to you. Now, it has a new, it's called a click switch for a reason, because it's got a new, what they call a 1-2-3-4 click system. Now, it comes with a plate, so you can screw it into a wall or stick it to a desk leg. And each switch has the ability to be clicked into place either on the back panel or the side panel. So you can choose to do that. That's why it's called 1-2-3-4. You can do it on the side. You can do it on the back. You can do it vertically and horizontally. So it gives you that ability to position it however you want. So that really is handy. And there's also ways you can organize the cables and put the cords exactly where you want. Even the power cable is adjustable so that you can either have the cord going out the side or down below. So you can even position where you want the power cord to go. So there's two of them, as I mentioned. There's the eight port, which also the 8-port also includes two USB charging ports as well. So it is handy if you want to charge up your phones and tablets. It can do the job there as well. The 16 port, obviously designed for larger businesses or even a small business, I should say, sort of for more computers and devices to be attached to. That doesn't have the charging port, so that's sort of generally seen as the sort of the workhorse click switch. They can connect more devices without the need to charge. So really handy, these two products. They're available now. They're priced at $139 for the 8-port and $219 for the 16-port. But I've put a lot of pictures up on the Tech Guide review just so you can get an idea of how they could be positioned on your desk, under your desk, on the desk leg, horizontally, vertically. The choices are yours. The Netgear Click Switch, you can read my full review at techguide.com.au. Now, here's a little fun thing I've put together on Tech Guide, and this is a look at some of the more ridiculous gadgets ever produced. There's plenty of products out there that when you see them, you ask a question. You say, why? What were they thinking? Why would they do that? And I'll put them together on Tech Guide. There's some pretty silly devices here that may have seemed like a good idea at the time when they were discussing them around a boardroom table, but in reality, they're pretty dumb. Let's start off with the LCD rear view screen. Now, imagine you've got your rear view mirror in your car. And it's not just any old rear view mirror. It's actually a screen, an LCD screen. Now, the makers of this LCD screen, RearView, say it can connect three sources, including a rear camera, which is fine. But what do you do with the other two connections? There are going to be people who are tempted to connect other sources, maybe watch a movie through there or view pictures or something. And that's really distracting. When we're talking about avoiding distractions behind the wheel, like that's why phones are banned, but you can't touch your phone when you're driving. And obviously, even cars with built-in DVD players and TVs, they won't work once the car is in motion. It's by law that's obviously, for obvious reasons, it won't work. No idea whether this rear view LCD screen can be wired in that way. I suspect not. So really, that is a problem. Moving on, another device that we thought was pretty stupid and yet fascinating at the same time is the Taser MP3 player. Would you believe the Taser C2 is an MP3 player that also doubles as a Taser? Now, what made me laugh was the fact that there's a gigabyte of storage, so you can put plenty of music on it, but using the MP3 player won't run down the Taser's battery. It's got a separate battery, so if you need to tase somebody after you've been listening to your music, you can have plenty of charge to do that. Another device we featured in our story is called, or not a device, it actually helps to manage other devices, and in this case, remote controls for your TV. And other products in your lounge room. It's called the Remote Wrangler. Now, it's something you wear on your head, and the remotes are attached by Velcro to the Remote Wrangler, which is worn on your head. So you're going to look pretty stupid with all these remote controls attached to your head, but by golly, you're going to be finding it really easy to find the remote control. Moving right along, the stupidity continues with the laptop steering wheel desk. Now, we spoke a moment ago about not having any distractions while you're driving. Well, the makers of the laptop steering wheel desk thought, well, why not make it easier for people to use their laptops if they're in a traffic jam? This is a desk that clips to the bottom of a steering wheel, so it creates a nice surface to put on your laptop. Now, the drivers behind you may not appreciate that. You may want to use this when you're parked, but to think that the traffic jam is so bad that you're going to have enough time to crack open the laptop and get some work done, then I think you should really rethink your drive to work. Another product we've featured is the self-stirring mug. Yeah, it's really tough to twirl a spoon around in a mug. Well, that's what the makers of this product thought anyway. You press a button on the handle and it stirs itself. Another one is the Toast USB wireless hand warmers. Now, there's sometimes we need to want to keep our hands warm, and some of us want to take advantage of using a USB-powered device to do so. Now, in this case, it's in the shape of toast. So you want to keep your hands warm, then, of course, they need to be shaped like toast. And in this case, they're wireless as well. So you plug in the cables to charge the battery. Once the battery inside is fully charged, remove the cable. You've got a wireless solution, battery in each hand, keeping you warm in the shape of toast. And lastly, we have metal detecting sandals. Now imagine walking along the beach with the metal detecting sandals. No more waving across a traditional metal detector to see what's beneath the surface. You simply got to walk and wait for the beeps with these metal detecting sandals. What will they think of next? You want to check out that whole list of devices with pictures? You can do that. You know where, techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
On the Tech Guide Help Desk this week, we had an interesting email from a reader who said that they created a DVD video on their computer, and they wanted to import the file, so they grabbed just the raw video file and put it on a USB, and were hoping to play it on their smart TV. And our reader said that once they had it connected, they could see the file on the USB, but it just would not play on their smart TV. Well, they asked, why would this be the case? Well, I think the answer here is pretty simple. The video was not in the right format. It is possible to connect a USB to a television's USB port, and you'll be able to watch a video from that thumb drive. But it does have to be in the right format. Now, the formats to use on a smart TV are usually all the common ones. You've got your AVI and MP4, WMV, even MKV, some formats that work on all smart TVs. So obviously, the file that was created by the DVD program in this particular instance wasn't one of those formats that we just mentioned. So that is something to think about if you do want to save some video onto a thumb drive to play or show to other people on their smart TV, maybe your holiday video or some other movies that you want to share, then you got to make sure they're in the right format. And those formats, again, are AVI, MP4, WMV, and even MKV. Are the formats that I've know work on my smart TVs here at home and will no doubt work on yours as well. So that is a very popular thing for smart TVs, is the ability to share that content so easily. The same thing applies if there's an SD card slot or you need to connect an external hard drive. The same deal applies. Usually you need to format an external hard drive to use it on your smart TV. A lot of TVs feature the ability to use an external hard drive to record programs to that hard drive. So rather than you having to invest in a totally separate product, a hard disk recorder, you just simply BYO your hard disk. The TV then also has that recording capability to utilize the space on your disk as you're recording. So helps you do that, but it does have to be in the right format. So keep that in mind if you're thinking of sharing video on your smart TV. And that's our show for another week. As always, everything we've spoken about here on the Tech Guide podcast can be viewed and read and seen at the Tech Guide website, techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, we love to hear from our readers, info@techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.